We're studying about Luke and some of the things that he wrote. And we've come to Luke chapter 4 in our studies. And I want, as we begin this morning, for us to recall back in Luke 2:49, when Jesus was 12 years old, he asked his parents this question: "Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" He was there announcing that as the Son of God, he came to earth as the Son of Man to be about his Father's business. In other words, he was on a business trip, a most important business trip. And later, in John, the 8th chapter, verse 29, during his earthly ministry, excuse me, Jesus made this statement concerning this most important business trip, John 8:29, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Now, as we begin to study what Jesus said in his first recorded sermon here in Luke 2, what we find is that he expressed the purpose of his most important business trip as he stands up and reads in the Nazareth synagogue the text inspired of the Holy Ghost, written by Isaiah some 700 years earlier. He's reading from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. You can follow along in Luke 16, verse 18 and 19. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And that is where he stopped reading. Now, here in Luke 4, I'm going to start back in verse 16 and read a few verses through 22. "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where we just read, where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister." The minister was the one who was in charge of all the books that were kept in the synagogue, the Old Testament. "And he sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.' And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth." We'll stop right there for now in the middle of his sermon and look at some things and have some thoughts. I think most of us enjoy hearing a true story told by someone who lived through the events they were telling about. We especially enjoy the good stories of those who can really paint a good picture with their words. And this was exactly what Jesus was doing here in Nazareth in the synagogue sermon. He was painting from Old Testament scripture a vivid portrait of himself. Now I want to hold that thought for a minute and jump ahead to some 3+ years. after the time of his resurrection, when Jesus expounded unto the 2 Emmaus disciples all the Old Testament scriptures, the things concerning himself, as Luke 24:27 tells us. Yet at that point in time, the 2 Emmaus disciples didn't recognize him, but later that evening at dinner, their eyes were opened, and they knew it was the Lord Jesus Christ who was speaking unto them, and at that instant, he vanished out of their sight. And it says in Luke 24:32, and they, these 2 Emmaus disciples, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Now, back here in Luke 4, in Nazareth, where he grew up, Jesus was just beginning to reveal himself to those whom he grew up amongst. When we were back in Luke 24:16, when Jesus first drew near to the 2 Emmaus disciples, it says their eyes were holden that they should not know him. We're not commonly used to using the word holden. It's not in our modern day English, but it simply means they did not know who he was. Well, put yourself in that synagogue in Nazareth, and Jesus is stood up for to read. And they didn't know who he was. I mean, they thought they did. So Jesus was giving them a quick snapshot here of who he really was by reading the Old Testament verses from Isaiah 61:2, which we read. And we find here in Luke 4:22 that the impact was just as great as it was upon the 2 Emmaus disciples, who also heard his gracious words and felt within their own spirit, within their own hearts, the burning within as he read aloud Isaiah 61:1-2 here in Nazareth. Jesus' gracious words, we find in Luke 4:22, were wondered upon by those in the Nazareth synagogue. And the word wondered here means that they were truly struck with the truth, the Holy Ghost inspired force of his words. He was telling a story of someone who had really been there. So may we too feel the impact of these gracious words, this word picture, this word portrait left for us in Scripture that describes our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And take a special notice of the first words Jesus spoke after the reading of these scriptures, the statement in verse 21, Luke 4:21. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Remember how he left last week? I titled his message, Here, Here Now. But it's like this. I am here. Hear me now. That was his message. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. In Romans 10:17, you all are pretty familiar with this scripture, it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Those in attendance that Sabbath day service at Nazareth, where Jesus had been brought up, they had just witnessed and heard the word of God read to them by the word of God himself. How alive was that reading? Okay. He made it real to them. That's why they perceived the gracious words that he spoke. And then Jesus, who is the word of God, emphasized the point of him reading this particular portion of scripture by teaching him this. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He was saying, I am here. Hear me now. That was his message. This certainly got their attention because, as we read in Luke 4:22, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? We'll talk about that, Lord willing, in the future. These words Jesus had just read from Isaiah 61 had just explained who he was. Again, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This, then, was the purpose of his business trip. Now, our Apostle Paul quoted from Isaiah 49:8 when he wrote 2 Corinthians 6:2. I'll give you a second to get there if you want. This is a parenthetical statement. There's parentheses around it. 2 Corinthians 6:2, and it says this. Paul's writing from Isaiah 49:8. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Jesus, here at the synagogue in Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, was saying the same thing. Really? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. In other words, he was telling them, today, this day, is the day of salvation. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. I am here. Hear me now. In the scripture, we find in New Testament scripture, we find the statement, let him hear, 16 times. And they're found in similar statements, like one found in Luke 8:8. Go there for a minute, and then you'll see the familiarity of this thought. Luke 8:8. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Pay attention, in other words. Remember, we talked about this several months ago in a class. The Philippian jailer, he asked Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's Acts 16:30. And their answer was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. In reality, this was Jesus' message here in Luke 4:21, when he says, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. I am here, hear me now, behold, now is the accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation. Believe on me, the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That was his message. So bring it down to today. Now, today. This day. The day you're hearing this. You might hear it on a recording or whatever. But reflect on this statement that is found in Matthew 18:20, which again are words of Jesus. There Jesus says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Well, as David mentioned this morning, didn't we gather in Jesus' name? Two or three, there's a bunch of us here, there's more than two or three. Today, our Lord and Savior is in our midst. For we are gathered in his name, and he said he is in our midst. So the encouragement for us today is the very same as it was for those in the Nazareth synagogue. I'm here. Hear me now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. With all of that as background information, let's go back and study the word Jesus read from Isaiah, and then we'll look at the results. I don't think we'll finish this today, but we can get started with it. This scriptural reading that gave several points of for discussion. And if you recall, Luke had already, in his writing about this in Luke 4, he acknowledged that the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus, noting that he was full of the Holy Ghost in Luke 4:1, and that when Jesus came to Nazareth in the power of the Spirit in Luke 4:14. Again, this in part was why we read in verse 22, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Holy Ghost inspired words with the power of the Holy Ghost behind them. And again, as we noted earlier, the word wondered here means that they were truly struck with the truth and the Holy Ghost inspired force of his words. And they further wondered at him when they remembered that he was a native of their own place and that they had long been acquainted with him, and all bear witness of this fact. But did they know Jesus? Not yet. They further wondered on how he should now, after all of these years having been in their midst, claim to be the Messiah, after giving so much evidence from Scripture that he was the Christ. And they also wondered at his gracious words. Jesus was stating that the Spirit of the Lord was upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He said that in Luke 4:18. This was Jesus' first priority, to preach the gospel to the poor. And Brother Hawkins, in his study book of Luke, he comments that this word poor here means distressed, cringing as a beggar, and shows the desperate need of men. I looked it up, and poor as defined by Thayer means lacking in anything. Might be the richest in the world, If you're lacking in Jesus, you're lacking, you're poor, spiritually poor. One translation reads, poor here as destitute. And certainly we were all born in sin, destitute of a Savior, which is exactly why Jesus came into this world, to save sinners, as the Apostle Paul pointed out in 1 Timothy 1:15. There he says, he came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul wrote. He was very religious. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, but he was claiming the title of chiefest of sinners. We find the phrase, to the poor, preach the gospel to the poor, the phrase to the poor, 19 times in Scripture. I thought that was interesting. 19 is the number of faith. The poor unto whom Jesus came were by him given the power to become rich, rich in faith. You can't buy faith, but you can be rich in faith. It's an amazing thing to talk to somebody who is. I was visiting with Bob Baker earlier today, and he was telling about his son, Corey, and I'm sure he wouldn't mind me telling this. He lost his job a couple years ago, and for no reason, and Bob told him, after all the dust had settled, just walk away from there. The Lord will give you something else. That was faith. And he did. And he's given him a better thing. That's the way the Lord does. In James 2:5, if you want to look at that for a second, James writes, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? And then in our text here in Luke 4:18, it says, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The phrase to preach is found 17 verses of Scripture. 17 is the number that has to do with victory in Christ Jesus. In this little portion that Jesus read here that Sabbath day morning, three times Jesus read the phrase to preach. He came to preach the gospel to the poor. He came to preach deliverance to the captives. And he came to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He was a preacher, as you know. So the first point of emphasis in this portion of Scripture that Jesus read from Isaiah 61 was that Jesus was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. That statement found in Luke 4:18. There's another statement found in Luke 4:18, and this was the second part of his ministry, the second part of his business trip, if you will. It's that God the Father hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. The brokenhearted are those who are deeply afflicted and distressed on any account. I don't think any of us can really see a brokenhearted, what it is to be a brokenhearted person, you know. If somebody walked up to you, would you know if they were brokenhearted or not? He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I looked up the word heal, and I was surprised. It's found in only 39 verses of Scripture, the word heal. I thought it'd be more than that. The number 39 is a number associated with the Word of God. Well, the Word of God is Jesus Christ himself, according to Revelation 19:13. He hath sent me to heal. Yes, he did. And heal the brokenhearted. Who else but Jesus could heal those with a broken heart? Go to your doctor and say, I got a broken heart. Ain't gonna do nothing for you. Maybe if you have a broken finger, they can do something, but broken heart? That ain't gonna happen. Go to Psalms 34, 18. Well, I'm having you turn to some of these scriptures because, and we might have read this morning, David did. It helps to reinforce what we're stating if we see it with our own eyes. Those senses you were talking about, Scott, how we learn. The Lord, 34:18 Psalms, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Then flip over to Psalms 147:3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. So here's a question for you to ponder on your own time. I won't go into the depths of this today, but when Jesus sweat, as it were, great drops of blood in Luke 22:44, was it from a broken heart? You can ponder that one on your own. Truly, Jesus was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Hebrews 4:15 tells us as much. So back here in Luke 4:18, we find that God the Father has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus was telling those there in that congregation, in that Nazareth assembly, in Luke 4:18, that God the Father had sent him to be our healer. Turn to Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. He was a healer, Jesus. Go back in Matthew 9:35. It says there, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Did he focus on only those believers? No, he healed everybody. Okay, go to Luke 9, verse 11. It says, and the people, when they knew it, followed him, followed Christ. And he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. So there, we just read 3 of the 14 times that the word healing is found in Scripture. Again, 14 is a number pointing to deliverance or salvation. Now, we go back to Luke 4 and come to the third point of emphasis in the scriptures that Jesus read from Isaiah 61. And that point being, he was sent to preach deliverance to the captives. Jesus said in John 8:36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." That's preaching and deliverance to the captives. And there are many aspects to preaching deliverance to the captives. Brother Hawkins, in his commentary on this, he noted that bondage is common to man, and it comes in many forms, and it affects the spirit, the soul, and the body. So we must note that the list is long of those who need deliverance. Go to Psalm 51 for a second. "Every man ever born, first and foremost, needs deliverance from sin." And the psalmist David wrote about this in Psalm 51:5. It says there, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Go to Romans 3:23. "Every man who was ever born," that's all of us, "was conceived in sin." The two exceptions was Adam and Eve. They weren't conceived in sin. But they became sinners. And as Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." This is exactly why Jesus came into this world on this business trip of his, to set us captives free from sin, which he did upon the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, "For he," that is God the Father, "hath made him," Christ Jesus, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And then one more, Romans 8:2. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Truly, Christ Jesus is deliverance to the captives. The fourth phase, or part of Jesus' ministry, was the recovering of sight to the blind. I'll have you go first to Luke 7. There are two kinds of blindness, if you think about it. Physical blindness and spiritual blindness. Jesus can heal both. And there are several accounts in the four gospel records of Jesus healing blind eyes. I didn't go and count them because I don't know how many accounts there really are. But we'll read a couple of these accounts recorded in Luke, starting in Luke 7:19. And John, it says there, that's John the Baptist, calling unto him two of his own followers, sent them to Jesus, saying, "Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" When the men were come to Jesus, they said, "John Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" And in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, "Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, The lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. It's the same thing we've been reading about here in Luke 4. And verse 23 it says, and blessed is he who shall not be offended in me. Go to Luke 18. And there's another, this is a good example of Jesus healing blind eyes. And it's also a story that's recorded in Matthew 20 and Mark 10. We'll start in Luke 18:35. And it came to pass that he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? Seems like a strange question, doesn't it? He was blind. But it was obvious to all he was blind. And Jesus seen that he was blind. But Jesus looked beyond this man's fault and saw a deeper need. We'll have to finish this story next time. But certainly this man wished to receive his sight, but Jesus was more interested in his spiritual eyesight, and he opened both.